Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Coming on a little late today for some studio problems, and we've got a full studio mic.
We had a silent moment just to you know, kind of get ready. We did a little meditation in here, a little Sedona meditation, and we're all better now. Thank you. And we are back. That's right. Unplanned.
Okay, we're back.
And so, yes, go ahead.
We've got a show about the nitty-gritty of politics, and we have three guests today, all who work in the nitty-gritty. And so we hear so much talk about ideology and viewpoints and propositions and platforms. We thought we'd take a show today and talk just completely about the nitty-gritty of politics, what people do. I mean, like, if you want to affect politics, you want to be active in politics, what exactly do you do?
Yeah, Steve, we hear about boots on the ground all the time. We have three guests this morning whose boots are on the ground. I have done some political work, as we know, and continue. And I give one speech every year, every month. You got one job. You have one. I don't care if you're the Democratic National Committee, the Republican National Committee. I don't care if you're Democrats or the Red Rocks. You got one job. Get out the vote. That's it. There is no other job. These three people, that's their job.
Well, so we have Kathy Rutherford, Kathy Kinsella. They spell their names a little differently. The Kathys, one's a C Kathy and the other's a K Kathy. I love that. And then we'd have John Hake. Let's start with you, Kathy Rutherford. What, tell us about your, tell us, you are the coordinator of what are called PCs, or precinct committee men in Sedona.
Right.
What is that all about? Most folks probably won't know.
Okay. Well, first, I got involved with DOOR after 2016, Democrats of the Red Rocks, trying to figure out what I could do to turn things around and get out the vote during the midterm election, which is so critical. And a precinct committee person is a person from historically, they like connect with their neighbors in their neighborhood. They're the person that knocks on that door and talks to people and helps them understand who to vote for, why to vote, and where to vote, when to vote, so that they get out the vote, like Mike was saying. And so I volunteered to do that, but my thought was we have to have a lot of boots on the ground to make a difference, a lot of boots on the ground. And so I started, you know, trying to find people to volunteer, trying to find people that were interested in getting involved and actually, what's the word, not brave enough, but like open enough to be able to go and knock on people's doors. So
one of the things you do is called canvassing, right? That's going around and actually knocking on doors and talking to people. Another is telephone calls, right? That's another part of a toolbox of sort of organizing things. And folks, traditionally Democrats have had a stronger ground game than the Republicans. That may be changing. They had a stronger ground game, this kind of canvassing, and much, much less money to spend on advertising and everything else.
Yeah, it's important. As you're talking about the tools in the toolbox, and by the way, I'm Kathy Kinsella, for the, just to differentiate between the two Kathys, which pointed out.
You look very much like Kathy Kinsella.
Thank you. We
know well, have been on the show before. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. It's good to be back. There are a lot of tools in the toolbox, and one of the things in a community like Sedona that is so important is having that visible presence. I think Democrats of the Red Rocks is a good example of the organizing that they're doing because they have an office. That office is open to the public for people looking for information, for walk-ins, to be able to organize out of, to be able to have signage that says we're here in the community and we're active and you can find us and we will help you.
It's right there on 89A, by the way.
Okay. Can't miss it. Right across from Whole Foods, right next to Old Sedona Restaurant. So it's situated well for anybody
and
who's
is it
hungry
open?
Between
What are the hours, Kathy? What are the hours?
It's open from 10 to 12 and from 2 to 4 each weekday, but you'll often find us there in hours additional to that and certainly available for any appointment. The phone number for Democrats of the Red Rocks is 212 212- 212-1357. Again, that's 212-1357.
And they can just, folks can just drop into the office, and there'll be people to talk to about the campaign. There'll be literature to take away. And you can find out a lot about what's going on the ground level. And you're really open. I mean, just if you're interested, folks, just drop by the office and have a chat. I mean, I used to do a lot of stuff in the office, and people would just come by. And people came by who, you know, lived in Connecticut or saw our signs. And we had one couple from Germany who saw our signs and just wanted to find out what's going on. So, you know, we're open, you know.
I think that's important. And it's almost always positive, isn't it, Steve?
Yes.
That even though in these sort of really negative political times, when it comes to the office, when it comes to canvassing, and we're going to talk about, you guys are going to talk more about that, it's positive. People want to talk. They want to find out information. They're afraid it's going to be negative, but like you said, those people from Connecticut, oh, Democrats in Arizona, we didn't, you know, and then it's all down.
Really? They were surprised.
It's great.
And let's ask John, because John, you used to work on Republican campaigns. You started out as a Republican activist in Minnesota working on gubernatorial campaigns, and now you're a Democrat, and you're on the board of directors of DOOR, and tell us a little bit how you got from one place to the other.
Well, I started in Republican politics in college and graduate school, and learned a little bit about that era, you know, the late 60s, Vietnam times and everything, and was always felt I was in that progressive camp, and I saw that in the Republican Party at the time in Minnesota. And I actually worked many years in that environment, had a very good friend who became the Republican governor for two terms, very, very socially moderate. And those were important issues to me and later to my wife after we were married. But basically, I experienced over a period of time the abandonment of many of the values that I felt were important in society on the part of the Republicans. They just left where we were, and they left a lot of the moderate Republicans in Minnesota. We then moved to Colorado, got involved heavily with a congressional campaign as an independent initially. And I looked at the gentleman is Jared Polis, by the way. He's running for governor of Colorado, right now, and I believe he's going to win solidly. And he came in with a lot of money, having been a successful IT tech executive, and sold his business, but he was gay. He didn't have any political feel. He was socially very moderate and very progressive and very aggressive about standing up for a lot of those issues.
Okay,
and,
John, so you come to Sedona. Why didn't you just stay by the sidelines? Why did you actually join DOOR? I'd like to ask all three of you. In other words, how did you move? You feel the Republican Party, and I hear this so often, Republicans, has moved so far to the right.
I don't hear it often enough.
Yeah, we'd like to hear it more. But even most of our candidates started out, at least a lot of them started out as Republicans, and there's just no place for moderates in the Republican Party anymore. They're so extreme. So what, let me ask all three of you, what made you move from your politics, you know, Democratic politics, to actually doing all the work? And I know that Kathy are just extraordinary powerhouses of doing stuff in Sedona.
They most certainly are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been involved in grassroots politics for a long time, since New York City to upstate New York, where I ran for office and won five terms serving as the superintendent of highways, which is a really practical office, as you like to point out, Steve, in New York State. So I've always was interested and involved. But before I moved to Sedona, I actually did online research looking for an organization that would be active in politics, because, you know, it means a lot to me. Found DOOR and started following it, and actually when I was out here trying to catch meetings. And so I've been involved with them since the beginning. It was actually, I knew it was a goal of mine moving out here, was that I wanted to be involved with Democrats of the Red Rocks. I think they're a great organization. They're doing, as Kathy will talk about as well, they're doing so much of that feet on the ground work that needs to happen, not just for whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, but for community. I mean, it's good to have to go out and knock on your neighbor's doors and to talk about politics. We fear talking about politics so much when we should be facing it head on. And that's what something like a real grassroots movement does.
Kathy Rutherford, yeah, tell us what lay out for us how it works. How does the whole turf cutting thing, you guys have all this lingo, but be careful with the jargon.
Okay. Well, first I want everybody to know that, you know, I voted, you know, I grew up Democrat, voted Democrat my whole life. As far as being involved to this degree, that didn't happen until 2016. And the thing that I wanted to do differently now in 2018 was to have a local voice in the way that we talked to people when we went up to the door. And that's one of our main goals. And I had no idea that we were going to have a very contentious primary election with things on the ballot that there was a lot of signage both ways, really confusing. And so it was nice that we could talk about local issues as well as our state legislature. We're really talking about them a lot. So what we have is we have some tools, which is really nice. We know who we're going to talk to, right? We started with the really strong Democrats hoping to get volunteers, which we did.
How do you know that?
Well, there is a database called the Voter Activation Network. We can go on there and they have, they don't know how the person voted, but they know what ballot they voted.
Sure.
They know how often they voted.
Sure.
And we have that information.
So you could tell if somebody had not voted in the last three or four elections or whether they vote in every election.
Exactly.
And you can tell their registration, whether Democrats, Republicans, or independent.
Right. Or Green Party or Libertarian.
But yes. What happened in Sedona that Kathy's referring to is the Tea Party came to town with a vengeance. And how did you deal with that? Because suddenly vast amounts of money were pouring into plans that would have basically destroyed Sedona's city government. You're on the street, and like you say, the signs were really confusing. Both sides says, you know, help deal with traffic, vote no, vote yes. What do you do?
Well, I think we were really fortunate that we already had a structure in place. So we already had people out canvassing. They started in their own neighborhoods, so they knew the houses they were walking to. Many of them, their own neighbors, they were used to the system. So we already had that set up. And because we already had that set up, Kathy and I have worked really closely together to talk about what are people going to talk about. And so we had good information about why people should vote yes on home rule, who the city council candidates were that were Democrats, and we already had the basis for doing that so we could dive in. Because in Sedona, you know, is a stronghold in the area for, there are a lot of Democrats here, a lot of Democratic-leaning independents, but between the last two elections, 2014 to 2016, 2014, 25% less people voted in that midterm. And that was the number we were trying to change.
Yeah,
so we already had our infrastructure in place when those issues came up.
And you got, in this day and age, you got 66% yes votes for home rule. That is a victory lap. In other words, you really did explain your position.
All
clearly.
The Tea Party back candidates, and they don't call themselves the Tea Party in there, but they're exactly the same people who made up the Tea Party. All their candidates lost this time. So it's a big win for Democrats. And a lot of the responsibility goes not only to the candidates, who I think we had excellent candidates who ran excellent campaign, but to you guys in terms of getting out information, explaining who. I don't remember, were there six or seven people, you know, there are like seven candidates running for the four-year term.
Seven.
It's confusing unless you pay attention, because you don't know who these people are. And the number of people who go to a meeting and listen to the candidates talk is fairly small compared to the number of voters, right? So you go around and you talk to the voters, and who prepares it? Kathy, do you prepare the material? Do you say, like, here's what the issue is? Because, like, look, home rule is a complicated issue. How did you boil that down into something you can explain standing on somebody's doorstep?
Kathy Kinsella, before you tell us your organizations besides Democrats of the Red Rocks.
Well, yes, I'm on the board of the Democrats of the Red Rocks. I also am the president of the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, Greater Verde Valley. I work with a number of organizations in the area, including PFLAG, Parents, Friends, Lesbians, and Gays. I work with my homeowners association, I'm on the board. I like to think of myself as I said, I held elected office back in New York State. The older I get and the more that I do, the more I like to just think of myself as a political observer. I think that's the best catch-all phrase. I'm really a junkie for this stuff and understanding it. But breaking down the information is a hard part because some of these things get really complicated, and some of the tools that we're trying to put together now are exactly that. How do you break it down in its simplest form? You take the ballot so that people know what to expect when they go, you know, get that piece of paper. You go in that order and you say, this is the issue. This is one sentence about it. This is the recommendation of how to vote. And you try and put that in people's hands in a way that they will keep it and refer to it. So being pithy. It's a good word. I tried to keep it, you know, up there and in front because you have to break things down in its most simple way.
Isn't one of the problems that I think Mike and I have talked about it before is that Democrats don't tend to vote down ballot the way Republicans do. So how do you deal with an issue like the Democrats, and particularly I think independents, real independents who maybe not vote every single election, they just don't vote down ticket. They'll vote for, you know, if they like President Obama or Hillary Clinton, they'll vote for, and then they just stop voting somewhere down the ballot.
It's true. We've been trying, and Kathy Rutherford has coined the phrase bottoms up, vote from the bottom of your ballot up, because we know that there's a drop-off rate when you start at the top offices and you come down. But if you start at the bottom of your ballot and you know who your local candidates are and you just proceed up, it's likely that you'll vote 100% of your ballot. Why should a voter lose their voice? Why do you willingly take your ballot and say, I'm only going to vote in 8 out of 10 races? You're silencing yourself on 2 usually very important races. The problem is that you may not have a lot of information about those more localized races. So we really start with the focus, and Kathy can talk more about that, at the bottom. Like you have here in Sedona, we have a local fire board race coming up. Now, if you go out and you say, hey, midterm elections are coming up, you know you're going to vote in November. Yeah, I'm going to vote for U.S. Senate. Yeah, sure, I'm going to vote for, you know, the state representatives. And they don't know that there's a fire board, that there are the local school district budget override. They don't know maybe that the Coconino County, if they live in that portion, has the bond issue for their supporting the college. All these issues are there. So we really focus on the bottom of the ballot. The lower end offices. Know your local community. It's where races are won by, you know, a handful, literally a handful of votes. 10 votes, 20 votes can make a real difference in something like a fire board race or a city council race, as we've seen.
My wife won by 146 votes, Jessica Williamson. So these races are close. And I tell you, on local races, everything makes a difference.
The mayor of Jerome won by one vote.
Yeah.
One vote.
Yeah. So don't listen to people who tell you it doesn't make any difference. The other thing is a multiplier effect. And this I observed years ago. If everybody decides that it's not important that they vote, it really skews these elections. And we still, Mrs. Kathy Rutherford, we still have a problem with people not voting. And the voting rate, as Mike alluded to, is very high in Sedona, but it's not that great in the rest of the state, for example.
Well, I was encouraged because this primary, more people got out. It's true. It's both Democrats and Republicans and voted than even 2016, which was presidential, right? And there's this guy, I hate to say his name. He lives in this White House. And I think that's one way he's helped us. People are getting out to vote because they're disgusted with what's going on.
But still more Republicans voted.
But we have more Republicans in the state. So the percentage wasn't higher, but the number of, yeah, I think the percentage was also a little bit higher. It was both. Yeah. And so we have to make sure that everybody gets out to vote. All the Democrats and all the independents that vote the Democratic tickets. And the way to get them out is to let them know what's going on and the importance of it. And that multiplier effect, when you said that, I thought you were going to say, and when somebody knocks on your door and talks to you about these candidates, you make sure you tell all of your friends the same information.
That's a better definition.
Yeah, because we can't get to every door. We go out every weekend. We had 4 canvases this last weekend, 2 in Sedona, 1 on Saturday and Sunday, 1 in VOC, and the first time in Cottonwood, we ran a canvas. And that's one of the ways I think our efforts are successful, is that we hold a canvas. Everybody comes. We partner you up with somebody so you don't have to go out by yourself. If we get enough drivers, we send you out with a driver. We never send you out unless you understand what's going on and you're with somebody that can support you.
I had a great experience canvassing. It's a lot of fun, actually, to go out and engage with people. Again, these are your neighbors. We are one community, no matter how things turn out at the end, and it's important to know and speak to each other. But going out door to door, I was with a friend of mine, Ellen, and we went and we knocked on a door, and we got engaged with this gentleman who had very specific, very intelligent, very deep concerns about various things, and we spoke with him for about a half an hour. So sometimes it's volume. Like yesterday, I knocked on, I think, 22 doors. That day, I only got to knock on 3 doors. But that gentleman who we spent a half an hour with is now one of our most active volunteers. So that was a really rewarding experience, and that's what happens. And that's why it's important, too, in the toolbox, again, the printed materials, because you can leave things behind with people that you spoke with, then they will have some tools to go out and speak to others as well. But
Kathy, I think what people are afraid of is they'll go to a door and somebody will be really nasty to them and sort of insult them and tell them, get off my property.
It's really rare when that happens, and actually you can usually predict it before you knock on the door. If you get to a door and you had to pass 10, do not trespass, no solicitors, do not knock, I have a gun, I will. maybe that's a door I shouldn't be knocking on, but the percentage of those doors are like less than 0.001.
That's true. They're almost always, it's almost always, like I said, a positive thing. And people, Americans, are more ready to welcome you than not. And especially if you're at their door. They want, if you've taken the trouble to do that, that's why canvassing works so well. No matter how on the other side they may be, you're at their home. 99 times out of 100, they're going to be civil. They're going to welcome you, even if they don't want you there. It's not nearly as scary as it sounds.
John, you're a gnarly looking guy. Do you get a friendly reception?
Well,
I mean that in a,
I have not been doing person. Much door knocking this time. I've done it, like I say, for close to 40 plus years, and my wife doesn't like it, but she's trying to do some other things. The point I'd like to make specifically is one of the things the door, meaning the Democrats of the Red Rocks, have done is we made a stake position on getting an office opened up. We hadn't had a permanent office here. We've had to struggle to get funding support from the Democrats in the area to be able to keep it going. And my belief is we should keep it going after this election so that we don't have a bump in sag in the hot, but we have continuity. But that gave us a linchpin place to work and how to go after it and how to organize it. We had a door board meeting yesterday. There were 12 people packed into that little office. Kathy had people preparing materials for canvassing. The board was meeting in the back room, stuffed all together.
That's where the back room politics gets done.
Whatever it is. But I think that's the community needs to understand that, and particularly those that are aligned around how we are, that we're going to try and keep that stake position in place. We're going to drive this thing forward, and we're going to take the momentum of winning a lot this fall, I hope, and bring it into the year 2020.
It's great to have a base, and I think as you said, it's so important, not just for Sedona, although it's great to have that visibility, and I think it's real important to have that reminder, but for all this is a regional thing we got going on. So when they come in from Rimrock, or they come from Canberra, or they come from Cottonwood, they know the door office is there, they'll find out that the door office is there, and it's someplace to work out of. To get to those, we talk about Nikki Bagley losing the last race, and she lost in Middle Verde. Who knew Middle Verde had 2,600 votes, and she didn't get enough of them, and those sorts of statistics and to have that presence. I obviously I'm waiting for the branch office in Cottonwood. The door branch office in Cottonwood.
Mike struggled for years to have an office down in Cottonwood and talk to Cottonwood people, and managed to do it year after year, and finally
election year, yeah.
Yeah, election year office, temporary election year office. So you guys struggled down there to get it going, and you've got a new group going down in Cottonwood, right? Tell folks about it.
Yes, we do. We call ourselves Yavapai County Dems dash Cottonwood. We aligned ourselves with the county party, and it seemed like the smartest thing to do. And it is gratifying to have 40, 50, 60 people come to the meetings at the Red Rooster, third Tuesday of every month.
Red Rooster in Old Town Cottonwood. Go there, folks.
5 o'clock, 4 o'clock if you want to eat and drink. People get there a little early, and candidates will come, and they can talk one-on-one.
And the food is really good there, too.
And the food is very good. Yes, yes, yes. Jim Areola and Shane Smith Murray bringing you comfort food in Old Town Cottonwood. We do want to give them a shout-out because they've been a wonderful host. They hosted the canvassing this weekend. Leah Hammond was there.
Let's give a shout-out to Cactus Cape for supporting Democratic Perspective over the years.
That's right, that's right.
Mike spends some time there discussing stuff with Kate.
And a lot of time talking to Kate about politics. And she writes checks for Democratic Perspective radio show. But Mike also leaves a lot of money behind. That Jameson's is not cheap. That's all I can tell you. Moving on. We're kind of focused on canvassing because it seems to be the big kahuna of political activism. But there's other stuff going on. Let's talk about what's effective. Kathy Rutherford, we're talking to Kathy Rutherford, Kathy Kinsella, and John Hake, all members of the Democrats of the Red Rocks Board, all members of other various political organizations. They do follow Mike Cosentino's Get Out the Vote, One Stinking Job. And all the other things are quite frankly, second. Look at every election.
Well,
folks.
I do think, Mike, that not only get out to vote, but you have to talk to people about who's running and why they're running. And if you're canvassing, do you talk about, say, we have candidates now for the general election, all the way down from governor to really, really local candidates? How do you decide what to talk people about, and does it vary?
Yeah, it does vary. This is Kathy Rutherford. One of the things that I set up when we first got going on this is we have precinct leaders in the different precincts, and we have a meeting to talk about, okay, how is it going to change now that we're through the primary? And we have been focusing on the Legislative District 6 candidates the entire time because we need to flip our state legislature. We are only 3 seats away in the Senate and 6 seats away in the House to actually turn it blue.
Stop the craziness. If we can flip just a few seats.
Fun
and we've
education.
Got really good candidates. Tell us a little bit about them, Kathy.
Yeah.
We've got 3 good candidates this time.
Yeah, so we need to fund education. Education has little by little gone to the bottom of the barrel. You know, we are 50th in this country as far as what we pay elementary school teachers. And I'm a retired educator myself, and it's not right. We're harming our children by doing this. The 3 candidates that we have, they're all strong education candidates. We have Wade Carlisle. They're all from small towns. They're like normal people like us. They are not career politicians. Wade Carlisle, he works for the railroad, and he has a wife who's a teacher and a family that he's supporting. But he wants to change things in the state legislature. Bobby Tyler and Felicia French, they're both running for the state house. You get to vote for 2. Don't forget, vote for 2. And Bobby Tyler right now is the mayor of Holbrook. He worked in the power industry all his life, meaning that he was the one that kept those machines going. And then Felicia French, she is a veteran, 32 years of service. She was a nurse and a medevac pilot. These are all just kind of our average people that want to make a difference. They're not well known. Felicia's from Pine, and Holbrook is Wade and Bobby. Small towns. We need to get the word out about them. They are going to go in there and make a difference. That's why we're telling people
you
about
know,
them.
It's almost easy to make a difference, either one of you guys, when it's so close, when it's flipping three seats, and when your vote in these local elections is really a big part of winning. They have to carry Sedona big time in order to deal with the very conservative. It's a very much a contested LD. LD means legislative district. We talk about CDs, those are congressional districts. In the state, they're LDs. And it's a very highly contested district. It's a little more Republican than Democrat. Yeah. Go ahead.
People don't realize, I think, how much the state impacts you locally. We know that we had this contentious primary and municipal election that just passed, and a lot of the issues that were upsetting to people that they cared about and drove them out are actually dictated by the state. You know that we have a traffic issue, and we know that some of that is attributed to the amount of tourism and the fact that we've had almost 1,000 new rooms dedicated in Sedona for tourism through short-term rental and the conversion and the loss of housing. Well, guess what? There's only so much that the city can do on these very local issues because Arizona, as a state, does not allow municipalities to pass laws on its own that the state doesn't allow and agree with and doesn't have state policy on. So if you want to change things and if you want to give local control in your community, where do you need to change things? You need to change things at the state level. The three candidates that Kathy mentioned, Wade Carlisle for state senate, Felicia French, and Bobby Tyler, both running for House seats, are three candidates that are strongly, strongly in support of municipalities having local control, which I know is a heartfelt issue around here. The numbers, just to talk about some numbers for turnout as well, there are 22,000 Republicans that came out and cast votes in this primary election. There were 16,000 Democrats that came out. So, I mean, there's still, you talked about, you know, what's the makeup of the district. There's an indication there that there this district has a lot of work to do if it is going to flip.
Well, that's it. Those are the numbers that bother me. Earlier in the show, when I referred to that, I was aware of those numbers, and I'm afraid of those numbers.
And last week we talked about, we got the statistics from a conservative columnist in the Arizona Republic, but Republican registration is about 153,000-158,000 larger than the Democratic registration. Democrats are registering three or four times as many people as the Republicans. But so the difference has gone down, say, 20,000 since 2014. But there's still a huge gap for you guys to overcome.
Statewide, there are about 150,000 more Republicans registrants than there are Democratic. But right on the heels is those that qualify as other. You can register five ways in the state of Arizona. You could be a Democrat, you could be a Green, you could be a Libertarian, Republican. Everybody else, whether you consider yourself an independent or if you make up a party line name, which you can do, you're quote other. So those are the five ways. You've got 1,264,295 registered Republicans in the state, and these statistics are as of August 1st. You've got then other, which is 1,218,716, and then right close behind Democrats are 1,111,580. So there are a lot of voters with all of that 3,632,000 plus voters in the state. The voter turnout was 33.26%. That now some say, ooh, that's so low. But then others say, wow, that was really high for an off year midterm primary election. So, but always key, no matter what that number is, there is room for improvement and we need to get out the vote.
It's sad. I'm sorry. I understand that 33% is a lot for midterm. It is sad. I'm one third of the eligible voters vote. And especially sad because if Democrats vote, Democrats win. It's that simple. So if you feel like you're not being represented by the people, if you feel like the Republican ideology that's running the state doesn't represent you, it's because it doesn't. It's because it wasn't elected by the people. It was elected by a very, very small percentage.
And those statistics, Mike, are for registered voters. And we have a lot of people who just simply aren't registered to vote. I got two people to, who hadn't been registered to vote pretty much in 20, 30 years to register to vote. And it's a learning curve because they have not voted in so long, they don't know how it works. And I haven't been involved in that part of politics in a while, so I don't know how it works. But the thing is that it's important, folks, that you not sit by the sidelines. When you sit by the sidelines, we end up with a kind of madness we see in the White House. And we have that same madness, this really crazy, and it's hard to even call it right wing, Mike, the really bizarre, conspiracy oriented, astonishing statements we have coming from our state senators and state representatives. We have, our state representative, Bob Thorpe, for example, trying to sabotage Sedona's economy by secretly asking another Tea Party, I think she's a state senator, to introduce a bill that would really, or to make a complaint against the attorney general, very conservative attorney general, make a complaint against the way Sedona does its business, right at election time. And then he hid the fact. And then we have some astonishing new, stuff from Sylvia Allen, who called, I don't know if you guys have a quote, called solar panel stuff a socialistic fascist trying to tell private sector what to do.
Yeah. And she is our current state senator. She's the one that Wade Carlisle will be running against, and she has also been one of the key people. She's the head, I believe, of the education committee.
Yes, chair of the education committee. Yes.
And she has robbed, I consider her robbing education blind in our state. She's been one of the key persons that has cut our educational funds so that we do not have a system that will attract businesses to our state. Businesses will not come here because they look at our education system and say, I'm not moving there with my children because your educational system is where it is right now.
Also, you know, voters are talking about getting out to vote and vote for candidates, but there are also going to be 5 statewide propositions on the ballot. One of these is Proposition 305, which would expand the private voucher system. Again, they're called empowerment scholarships, and it's something that this education committee and that Sylvia Allen and cohorts are looking to further privatize.
And we don't
education.
Mind saying that they're corrupt. Sylvia Allen owns or is involved in a charter school. She makes money out of education, as do one third of the Arizona.
The other thing, just to underline what Kathy is saying and John and Mike, is that nothing is so misnamed than some of the propositions, right, Kathy?
Right.
I mean, they're a lot of times, and they're the exact opposite of what they claim to be.
She got to one proposition, and that's 305. But as far as it is a nail in the coffin of Arizona education. It literally will allow a voucher system that can go to a family that will just eviscerate the funding for public education.
The misnomer, though, that you're pointing out is really so true, because they've called it, you know, it's the Save Our Schools proposition, but we want a no vote on this. If you're interested in saving public education in the state of Arizona, you need to vote no on Proposition 305, because Proposition 305 takes money out of public education. It's just, there's just no way around it. Even if you are supporting this, you have to admit that that's what it does. It takes the money out of public education and puts it into private education.
Hit the other 4 real quick. We're running out of time. Somebody's got to do the other 4 propositions.
The other 4? Okay.
Sorry.
So there's Proposition 125 is on the state ballot, and that would amend 2 state pension plans. That will affect everybody differently, so it's hard to take a position on that one. 126 is the one that would tie the state's hands from coming up with taxes. Now, if you, again, we're saying vote no on Proposition 126, as Democrats of the Red Rocks took a position on this, because of the limitation and the hand-tying that it does. Voting no on this does not mean that you will have new taxes. In fact, quite the opposite. There are no taxes tied into this. It's just a formula by which the government can develop things going forward in the future if they want to. Proposition 127 is the one that's been all over the television for clean energy. It would require 50% of energy to come from renewable resources by 2030. DOOR is recommending a yes vote on that. Proposition 305 we just talked about would expand that private voucher system. We're urging a no vote on that. And then also, very important, because we spoke about this in the beginning and I wanted to get it in, Proposition 306 is a proposition that would weaken the Citizens Clean Election Commission. It would make it subject to partisan control. And it'll really tie the hands. If you're a candidate and as somebody who ran for office, local offices without a lot of support and very small budgets, you don't have a lot of resources. This would tie the hands of your availability to get any sort of party support. Even though you're running on a party line, it ties that hands. And what this does is puts the money directly into the hands of big business in politics, for consultants to be controlling support services that you'd have to pay through the nose for. If you want clean elections, if you want the little guy to have any kind of a shot at running for office against big money, you need to vote no on Proposition 306. So again, Proposition 125, affects everybody differently. We don't really have a position. Proposition 126, saying vote no on limiting taxes. Proposition 127, vote yes to require clean energy. Proposition 305, vote no and expanding that private vouchers and taking money out of public school education. Prop 306, vote no if you want to make sure that clean elections have a shot in this state.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I know that's a ton of information, so all of those propositions and the positions are on the website, the Democrats of the Red Rocks website. So you can always go there. And if you wanted the website, it is sedona.org. So you can see everything we've been talking about actually is on the website.
And we'll have a show close to the election time to talk about the propositions too. We'll devote a whole show to the local proposition, and to the statewide ones. Because we do completely agree with you that these things are important and they're deceptive. And they've been deceptive for decades. Well, we've got a couple of minutes, Mike.
Well, that's it. Yeah, the two that didn't make it on the outlaw dirty money got sabotaged, and the red for red, the taxation to support education even further by taxing people.
Those didn't go on the ballot. There's a move to just as a protest vote against the judges.
So we'll
what
tell
you guys.
We'll name the judges next. We'll name the judges next time that you vote not to retain.
The judges you vote retain or not retain. Kathy?
And also just the local ballot questions, just in your last minute or two, just again, don't forget, those are important. Vote from the bottom of the ballot up. You'll see them over on the far right, these local questions. Proposition 417, which will be for Coconino County voters to support the community college, again, without any tax increase. It only renews funding. And then there's the Sedona Oak Creek Unified School District budget override. Vote yes. And then Prop 446 for the permanent pace adjustment, vote no.
So all of our guests are working through Democrats of the Red Rocks. They have an office right near next Old Sedona Bar and Grill and Family Restaurant and across the street. Kathy?
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing, and we can always use more volunteers. You know, we have a ton of doors still to knock. We got to get out the vote for this general election. You can call Democrats of the Red Rocks, and they'll get you in touch with me, and I promise it's fun. We have a good time every time we go out. People actually know me now when I walk up to their door, and they're, like, ready to invite me in for a glass of wine. So please come. Please help. We do also need phone bankers and drivers.
Thanks, folks. Don't forget, you can listen to Democratic Perspective on VBID.org. Find our podcast there. And you can listen to Democratic Perspective all over the world online. Find us.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.